heart tonight, Lord, is full of praise. And in a form where we stand alone before you, we stand alone with thankfulness, with gratitude, and with praise in our heart toward you. We praise and thank you because you gave us breath and life one more day in your creation. We praise you because you've spared our lives and kept us. We praise you because you've provided today, this day you have provided for us. Our clothing, our food, our expenses. We thank you, Lord, because your Spirit and your glorious anointings are there to rest upon all whose heart is grateful and full of praise for you. We just lift up your name tonight, Lord, and choose to ignore absolutely and totally all the pullings and drawings to our heart from any other direction. And we stand before you with just an attitude of praise, an attitude of thanksgiving, and deep in our heart, a yieldedness to you. Because your ways are always right. Your ways are always right. And this very day, your anointing is sufficient for us. Your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, begin to lift the burdens from off of our hearts. For you were the burdened bearer. Lord, you bore our burdens. You're the bearer of them. You're not the one who puts them on us. You are the one that bore them for us. And you said that you change not. You said, Lord, that you try us, but never beyond the measure which the cord should break. But I know someone, Lord, who always at work would push us beyond that brink. But all they are is boastful threats. Boastful threats. But how many of them, Lord, if not all of them, never come to pass? They just let us live miserable as if they always were. But they never do. When will we wake up, Lord? When will we understand that this heaviness and these burdens that we live under, these boastful threats of the enemy, never come to pass? But your grace is always sufficient. Your anointing is always there. Your love never faileth. Your purposes over our life are never ruined, Lord. There's no impeachment of our King. Nor is there any dethroning of our Prince. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thy will be done in my heart as it is in heaven. Thy perfect will be done. As I stand before you this day, I realize, Lord, how vulnerable we are to all our enemies. But you said you would stand on the rear and that you would go before and that you would be with us. that you would be with us, who can be against us? And Lord, I come to you tonight. I come to you tonight. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Every single person in this place, come to him. This is the garment. Put on the garment. For this is that anointing that's come to you through the word of faith that I speak unto you. The words of faith that I praised him with brought the garments, put it on, and rise above your storm. Rise above your storm. Wherever you are, whether you're sitting or whether you're standing, he is here. And you need to rise from darkness. You need to come to him. Transcend yourself and come to him. Come away from yourself. Come away from the world of woe, of negativism, of darkness. Come away and come to him. For in him there's peace, there is life. There's hope, there is forgiveness, there is faith. Wonderful Jesus. I bless you for the clothing of that anointing upon me tonight. An anointing that's always there. I never know when in a service, but it's always there. That anointing that's already begun to break the yoke. That anointing that's already begun to take possession of these lips and this tongue to speak the words from the world above and not the world below. Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. For those whose spirit is down and depressed, oppressed, come. Come. There is a garment for you. A garment of an anointing that will lift that spirit of heaviness. Just make that short walk from where you are up to your front. And you will find that the anointing will begin to flow through you. Those of you that are at the front, just step back and make room for those who might want to come. Because there's an anointing tonight for the oppressed. Let the oppressed go free. Let the oppressed go free. It's real, I'm telling you. It's very, very real. For the words I speak unto you are spirit and they are life, and they are true. Come unto me, that you might find rest for your burdened souls. Yes.
Out of her sorrows, out of my soul, stand near to my God.
Jesus, I come.
Jesus, I come.
You know, the ways of the Lord are so simple. But in that simple coming, life turns around with a new meaning, new strength, new attitude. An attitude of strength and overcoming. Setbacks there will always be. Problems there will always be. We will never stop the devil from oppressing. But we have a place of refuge. We have a place where we come to. It's the city of refuge. That place of the glorious anointing of the Lord. Where we rise up. Where we rise up. For there's no doubt in my mind that that precious anointing was here in this place tonight. But he's teaching us to make that step. He's teaching us to make that step. He's teaching us to come. It's very important that we learn to come. And whatever the situation, whether it's shameful sin, whether it's failure, whether it's attitudes, whether it's oppression or depression, sickness or sorrow, we have a city of refuge. He is our healer. He is our God. He is the one that we can come to. I'd like to speak to you for just a few moments as they finish the song, as they finish singing it. I'd like to go back to John 4 and continue on with the words on the Samaritan. A woman who came to the well. Finished in the 28th verse, where the woman, having heard the declaration of who the Lord really was, drops her water pot and runs to the city. Her words to them were these, verse 29, "Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came unto him. Then they came out of the city and came unto him. There's a went out and there's a come to. Coming unto means to continue coming until you get to where he was. And as I was reading this today, I was impressed by the word in the daily light for this evening that fit in so closely to what I had prepared some weeks ago on this series of coming out and meeting the Lord. And I felt to share on that for just a few moments tonight. It's good to reflect on the word of the Lord. The word tonight will be a word of instruction. It is necessary for us to come. In the Old Testament, they had a city of refuge. When someone was in trouble or when someone accidentally killed someone, before they could discover why they'd done it, they'd be stoned to death, I'm sure. And they fled for their lives and they came to what was called a city of refuge. And so these people would run, come out from their own cities, come away from their own dwellings, and of course had to be separated from all the rest of their people and come to this city of refuge. And in the city of refuge, they were safe. They were held from all the problems that could have come upon their lives, and they stayed there until it was safe to leave, and then they left. We have laws governing our life, just like the world has laws governing its existence, like the law of gravity. As long as the engines are running in your aircraft, and as long as the wings are there to force air above it, slow it down, as long as everything's working perfectly, you can defy the law of gravity. But let me tell you, the law of gravity didn't go anywhere. It's right there. You're exercising your power to rise above it, to work contrary to it. And it is possible, as long as greater laws are in force. But when those greater laws are now no longer in force, the lower laws take over, but you're never without a law. And you can be cruising along, and you can be doing acrobatic maneuvers, and you can be defying gravity in every way possible, and you can flip and tumble your aircraft and do all these funny things and become part of a team of very experienced pilots doing all kinds of funny things up there. But you make one mistake. Let one little tiny law, whether it's the law of distance between one aircraft and another, whether it's the law of vortex structure of air coming in behind another aircraft and getting sucked out and pushed down. It's like pulling the carpet out from under you. Or whether you're in one of those sheer drops, it's like a guillotine coming down on you where just air disappears. It suddenly is no more. It's like a pocket where there's nothing. And you start come tumbling down. Or you have to throw a lot more power on to defy that and go straight up. And you can do that. Rockets do that. They're not bothered by wind shear. They go right up into one. You see, all those laws you can disregard as long as you're using higher laws. But one of the smallest ones that you break, you're in trouble. Lots of it. Why? Because the other laws are still there. They didn't go anywhere. The law of gravity is no longer active upon you because you've overcome it. They use the law of gravity. They come into it. They gradually give into it for a forced descent. They give it less and less and less of the measure of power to overcome it, and they give in more and more and more to the law of gravity. And the less you use your engines, they call it a controlled descent. If they just shut down the engines, they come down like a piece of lead. They don't want that. They want to control their descent. They're allowing the law of gravity to become greater and greater upon them as they decrease the other laws that are above it. And they control how much they're decreasing of this law that is above it in order for the law that is below it to overcome it. And so that is what they call a controlled descent. And they give in to this law of gravity more and more. And they do it so wisely under such control. They have it so studied out that they can literally set down hundreds of tons. They can sit a great big ship out of the water and set it down on the ground so lightly that 6, 8, or 10 little tires can hold it up. It's just so smooth. Sit it down, lay it down, and then now take over on another law, which is the same law we use for our aircrafts. Balance, gravity, and it keeps it on the ground. They don't want it in the air now. They want it on the ground. And so they slow it down, and you taxi into the airport, and you think nothing of it. Oh, well, I just flew to California and came back. Do you have any idea what had to happen for that to take place? You weren't just hurtled out there. If that thin layer of skin that blows up like a balloon under pressure to counteract the vacuum pressure upon the outside of that skin were ever to peel off, like some of them have. One of them did over the Pacific, not far away from one of the islands of Hawaii, just after takeoff. And people flew out of there like they were little debris. And no parachute. Now, they were caught in the middle of that circumstances without any of the greater laws to uphold them. That's not a good place to be in. Because they soon discovered that this nice, cozy, warm aircraft that they were flying in, drinking some 7-Up or whatever kind of drink you drink, it used to have to be Coca-Cola from here, but now it doesn't anymore. But whatever comfort you, or paper you read, or magazine that you're being enthralled with, suddenly those natural laws that surrounded you and you felt so comfortable in, like if gravity didn't exist, like if speed didn't exist, like any of those laws weren't broken, suddenly you're aware of all of them. You weren't even aware of drag. It's not as it creates that terrible sound of drag coming through that hole that now appears. That thin layer of skin blown up like a balloon suddenly decompresses. That massive pressure leaving at such enormous pressures, that things that go through there go through at the speed of a bullet. Huge bodies have been known to go through holes smaller than this glass. That's the kind of pressure we're talking about. You say, oh, that is terrible. That is because there's a law out there that's been allowed to overcome the other laws. It has been known to suck three seats out of a section, out of a hole too small for it to fit in, and just crumple it as it goes through, like a shotgun bullet or blast. You're saying, why am I using all these examples? Because I need to have you understand what I'm going to say and apply it to where I'm going to apply it. So, well, how does it fit coming to the Lord? You certainly don't come through a hole like that. Well, I want you to understand one thing, that the law of the Lord, the statutes, all these things that are confined within this book, they're not gone. They're still here. The penalty for the breaking of all these laws is still here. Gravity is still with us. We can overcome it, but gravity is still with us. The laws of destruction are still with us. You say, oh, I'm having such a nice life, but you're being protected. Don't let any small law be broken. When they land aircrafts and they get one too close to another, they're now building into aircraft safeguards so that the aircrafts will talk to one another automatically through computers. And they're called avoidance systems, to where they won't collide in midair when someone makes a mistake on the ground and lines them up too close one to another, especially when there's several runways. If you don't think your heart will miss a stop, if you didn't know that there was more than one parallel runway into an airport, and you're lining up for the airport and you're going to hit the ground in just a few seconds, and you look out the window and you see another one not more than 30 feet off the end of your wing coming down supposedly to the same runway, your heart misses a few beats. It wasn't until after I hit the ground I realized they hit it with us on a runway that wasn't more than 50 feet away from ours. It was very scary. I thought we were going to share the same runway. And you see, sometimes things like that happen because the paths that they chart in the air were wrong paths and they crisscross, unfortunately, for the death and tragedy of so many people. But these things do happen. And we have to understand that although we can fly our aircrafts, gravity didn't just say, oh, well, I've been overcome, I'm leaving. It didn't leave anywhere. It's just waiting there for you to break some law and it will take over. Those tremendous winds that are up there, those jet streams that they can use to help themselves fly from one place to another, can also be against them. And if they were to be as great as 500 miles an hour, then the plane is only flying 60 miles an hour, therefore it would drop. It's like continuously pulling the carpet out from under you. How are you going to stand? If you stand, they pull it from you. Like these things at the airport that you get on, you better walk. And so you have to keep walking, and you have to keep walking fast. And I give you these little simple examples because there's a simple truth I want to leave with you tonight. And that's that the law is ever present. It hasn't gone anywhere. It's like the law of gravity. And we need to keep our act put together at all times, because whenever there's the slightest moment your act isn't put together, the law is going to take over. Whether it's your skin that gets peeled back, whatever little thing that gets broken, the law is there, because the law is upheld even when you're living above it. And there's only one way to live above the law. There's only one way to live so that everything that the law has contained in it doesn't come upon you or me. And that's to come into the city of refuge. That's to be in this aircraft and be hurled through the sky and everything work. The enemy is forever trying to get you separated from your aircraft up there because, you see, you don't have jet engines. And even if you held your arms out, they're not the right design. It just doesn't work so good. And you can try the Superman trick, and it's great for movies. But you're soon going to discover, maybe not for long, that it doesn't work. We need to stay in the aircraft because it works in the aircraft. You can look out the window on aircraft. You go, da-da-da-da-da. Just make sure you're in it. Because it's just outside that window pressing its nose up against yours. Like that. You'll die just from the temperature drop. From a nice comfortable 70 degrees to a minus 50 or minus 200. Depending on where you're at. That's a pretty shock on the body, you know. So make sure you do all your ta-ta-ta-ta-ta when you're nice and safe inside and everything's working fine. Because all those other laws that you're breaking are right there. They didn't go anywhere. God didn't undo it. The cross didn't undo the law. And the enemy is forever trying to get us out of our aircraft playing Superman. And I don't know why we as human beings, especially as Christian human beings, are so gullible. See, I can't believe I came all the way to church tonight to hear about Superman. One day they're going to discover here that we're adults and they won't speak to us like little children. That's what really bugged the people during Jesus' time. He refused to talk to them as adults. He always talked to them like little children. But of such is the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord wants us to know that we are surrounded by the law that's still upheld. And I want you to know that the devil is the power, is the force, is the energy behind this law. And the further out on the limb you are, the greater the fall, the easier to fall. The law of gravity isn't too great upon you when you're 3 feet off the ground trying to play Superman. But if you try it out of an aircraft without at least some type of a parachute, it's not the best safe landing. Do you know in the practical, in our life, it's a continuous war. The enemy is forever trying to get us back into the law. Forever trying to get us back into gravity. He wants to get us to walk. Well, in the 20th centuries, we have cars. Why should you walk to California? If you have a cab take you out there, someone said today it costs $4,632 to have a cab take you out there. Why not take a plane for $199 and get there in one day instead of a week later? Why would you take a plane to California instead of a car? Because it's faster. It's more comfortable. It's quicker. Nicer. The enemy's forever trying to get you to walk to California. Fly. The enemy's forever trying to get us hooked up into the law. He'll try to get us to look at ourselves, to try to look at a problem, try to look at our sin, our failure, our shame, our pride, whatever, and then apply the appropriate law to it. But there is a way that we can overcome. You can live above the law to where it doesn't have any power over you. You can defy its power. It's there. It's waiting to get you. It's waiting to put all of its strength and power on you and to subject you to itself. But we can rise above it. It's not gone anywhere, but it will almost look like it's not there. These aircrafts can fly so beautifully you would think that gravity didn't exist. We have machines now, you call them rockets or whatever you want to call them. They so defy it that they don't just fly across it, they fly into it. And they get up in through it. And they rise totally above it. To where from now on they just float. They totally leave the realm of its dominion. Or its domination. Is the devil around? He must not know I'm here. It's just going so great, so good. No friction, no gravity, nothing. It couldn't be this good. And so you start tipping your nose down. It can't be. This is too good. I can't be right. If God's not looking down my throat to find some problem, I'm flying high somewhere. I better get down. And so we get down into gravity. We start slowing down, slowing down, slowing down, slowing down, getting down in underneath its power. And then before you know it, it was so great to have that month where nothing was bothering me, no sin came up or anything else, but something had to be wrong. And so I start listening to this thing and start slowing my cruise down. And before you know it, I'm not orbiting anymore. I'm down here with gravity, and it starts pulling and tugging, and it gets stronger and stronger. Before you know, I'm under depression and oppression and sorrow and sickness and down to the floor and hugged to the floor, and you're lucky if you make it alive because you just come out and slam, you come down there. Say, see, you can't live up there in the sky all the time. You live down here. You know, these men left the city. They left the place where they normally dwell. They left the place where they normally lived. And they came out. They went out of and they came unto. And as I was looking to this, the Lord spoke something just very simple into my heart. I'm not exempt of any of the problems that you might go through. I'm not exempt of the same oppression. I'm not exempt of any of the laws like the law of gravity that's always exercised upon us. You know, some of us are so used to being oppressed and oppressed, we don't know what it's like to live without it. It's almost strange to live without it. It's that same sensation of, could I live that way? No, of course not. How many times have you found that when the enemy hasn't bothered you, you've just gone so well, the law doesn't get to you, nothing but grace and mercy comes off these pages, and you live almost in limbo land, you say, something's got to be wrong. And you invite gravity back. It can't be. Living in an aircraft is just too easy. Arriving in California without taking 6 months on a covered wagon is something's wrong. Of course it's wrong. As long as the gravity laws are not broken, it's fine. The purpose of the enemy is to take some skin off your aircraft. The purpose of the enemy is to slow down or shut your engines down. Put some debris in your fuel lines. Shut down some valve and get it stuck. so your controls don't work. Your hydraulic fluid gets stuck. He'll do anything to stop your flight. Anything. Because if he can break any of the tiny little laws, he can make you succumb to his. He can make you come down into his. And the faster he can bring you down, the better for him. And if he can crash land you and destroy you, he would love it. Early on in my life, I used to have these tremendous highs and these tremendous lows. The times where I live up there above all the storm get longer now. Months I'll be up there. In a week or two, I'll be down. Sometimes when I really made an effort at it, I learned how to get it down to just days. He'll do anything he can to get you to stop living in that place above his storm and his law, above God's law. Christians spend most of their time, we do as Christians, in the law, in the thou shalt nots. God's purpose is for us to live above it, beyond it. The few times in life where I have, it's felt so good. It's been as nice going out to California in a perfect flight rather than walking there. That's the difference. That's a big difference. I want to read to you from the Daily Light today. And all these random thoughts might come together for you. To keep the commandments of the Lord and statutes which I command thee this day is for thy good. As many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. I'm going to repeat that because I think you're still trying to find where it is. Let me read it. As many as are of the works of the law are under the law. Think of that gravity. But they are under the curse. As many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is said, or written, cursed is every one that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Cursed is everyone that doesn't do everything, that doesn't come under this law and do everything it says. You say, well, why would you want to live above it then if you're cursed? Very simple. He took my curse for me. For he took my sin, seeing as though I couldn't live under the law, and he stood in the law for me. Now as long as I live in Christ, as long as I come to him, I don't have to live under the law. I don't have to be subject to gravity as long as I'm in the aircraft. But you get out of that aircraft now, and you're going to be subject to its laws, every bit of its power. See, the trick is to make you think that as a Christian, you still have to live under this law. But you know how hard it is to do? Because you're cursed if you don't do everything that's in this law. You get outside of that aircraft at 30,000 feet, you're cursed underneath its law, and its consequences are going to be strongly upon you. So I strongly suggest that if you're going to cruise at 30,000 feet, you do it in an aircraft. Or don't fly. Live depressed. Live oppressed. Live a whole lifetime trying to obey everything that's in here. And when you manage, like some of these people, to get it down perfect, down pat, all 10 of them, then you'll hear Christ add another 177 to them. addendums, additions, amendments. Say, oh my God. Oh my God. How am I going to do this? Come out of the city. Come out of the law. The devil's forever trying to get you to live in it. He's forever trying to get you back to it. He's forever trying to... You open the Bible and say, all right, Lord, it's all been so terrible for me. I'm going to open it at random. It wouldn't matter where you opened it. You better open it being in Christ. You see, they came unto him. The law of gravity is there, but as long as you're in the aircraft, you're all right. You can ride above it. All of its terrible powers and laws cannot harm you. Do you know when we put on that garment of praise, when the anointing comes upon us, it just seems like all that heaviness lifts. What is it? It's someone that has the power to rise above it. It's someone who took my place and rose from the grave. He had enough jet power to come out of it. And all the power of the law, all the power of gravity could not hold him down here. He just, with my guilt, with my sin, with my curse, with your curse, with your sin, and with the whole world's sin, and with the whole world's curse, he turned on those engines and he came out of death unto life. Yes, really. How then do I live under the law of that when I'm riding in that rocket? But you have to ride in that. The thing is that we try to ride in our own thing. All these entrepreneurs making these little new Delta wing aircrafts type of thing. Forget it. Use them for kites on a weekend. But forget living with it. The message is really simple. When we come here and the anointing lifts us, you find you're so lifted, you get back to the door, you get back home, and again you're under that thing. Live in it. They came out unto him. There is this curse. There is this law. But he was cursed for us. He is this law for us. We can live under this anointing. We can live in this thing. Now look, it says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The devil's forever trying to get you to live down under here in the gravity. God's forever trying to say, just get in that aircraft. Let it do the work for you. You're going to get tired of winging your way. You're just not built right. You just don't have what it takes. You never will. Don't try it. Superman's great for the films. It doesn't work too good in practical. Don't try to live in your own strength. Don't try to fly with your own wings. Get in the aircraft. Let it do it for you. There is one problem I find with an aircraft. You're not the pilot. You've got all this power. You can rise above the law. But now where we go is somebody else's business. That's the only hassle. But it's better than living under the law. It's better than coming in here all depressed. It's better than coming in under the law of depression. It's better than coming in and say, oh God, you know, I broke it again. You know, how many sins, Lord? How many times do I have to tell you I'm sorry? Well, just jump in the aircraft and live above sorry land. You say, well, I can't, Lord. I keep sinning. Just get in the aircraft. Stay in it. He took care of it. There is a law that says the consequences for what you just did is this, this, and this. But I don't live in the law. If you're afraid of those consequences, then get in the aircraft. Come unto him. For months and months and months and months, one of the greatest preachers the world has ever known, they call him the Prince of Preachers, Charles Aladdin Spurgeon, wrestled and wrestled and wrestled with guilt and condemnation, guilt and condemnation, guilt and condemnation. He just could not get over it. He tried everything he could. He tried everything he could. There was another man much like him, but it lasted many years for him. And during the whole time, Martin Luther tried and tried and tried, through penitence, through any other way, he'd walk until his knees were literally bleeding. He would fast and there was nothing left to his frame but bones to see through it in 90 pounds. He did everything he knew how he could, that he possibly could do to take that guilt off of him for the sin and to somehow be released from that awful weight of condemnation. And one day the Lord met him and spoke to him these simple words that I read to you tonight, the just shall live by faith. It became his only message the rest of his life, and such a powerful message. Hundreds of years after him, there remained a church in the world named after him, the Lutherans. To this day, a denomination so powerful and so strong, birthed out of the experience when he met Christ, when the words came through to him like a flash, when he got on the airplane and quit trying to defy gravity and quit trying to pay the punishment of the law. He came out from under the law and never more lived under it. The capitalists couldn't make him do it. The Pope couldn't make him do it. The world itself couldn't make him do it. Persecution couldn't make him go out of it. He came to Christ and he remained in Christ the rest of his life. He never came away from Christ. He went into the city of refuge and never came out. That's it. You know what? We as Christians live in and out and in and out and in and out, up and down, get in the aircraft, shut the door, let me seal it on the outside and forget it. It's true, you can't choose your paths. But who cares? You'll die outside. They found this tremendous, tremendous release. Going back to Spurgeon at the beginning, as long as I've mentioned him, he was in this country church. You remember that, I'm sure many of you. And they appeared for the services, and people didn't, because I think if there was a big snowstorm or blizzard, and they couldn't make it to church, and the pastor didn't make it either, and this little old farmer got up, and he began to speak to people. I forget the exact words, but to look unto Jesus, just to look unto Jesus, that as many as just look unto him shall be saved. And the words went into him. He couldn't get it out of him. Day and night, and God chose to use those words to get inside of him. He was looking at himself. He was looking at the law. He was looking at the demands. He was looking at all the things. Look to Jesus. Come see a man. Come see a man. And that's my words for you tonight. Come, see a man. Come out to meet him. Come out and walk in him. Fly in him. Move in him. Have your being in him. Above the law. Above gravity. Above sorrow. It doesn't matter what you go through in life. You're in the aircraft. His skin will never be peeled off. His frame will never break. The power of the Spirit, the engines that move him will never be exhausted, will never break down. They will never lose their fuel, because they're fueled by the mighty God of Jacob. We need to come out of ourselves. We need to recognize that the whole idea of the enemy is to put you under, to suppress you, under the law. To bring you to a place where you live with God on this what have you done business. It's true. What can I say? And you can't come with an attitude, well, you're lucky I didn't break them all today. Because really, that could be the truth too. You know, Lord, I tried real hard with one of them. I know that the other 7 million I broke. But at least I tried on one. Why even try that? Haven't you noticed how the enemy's continuously trying to tempt you to get out of the aircraft? How he's forever continuously trying to bring you out of Christ? When you come into that lovely anointing, the moment the anointing descends, has God ever said anything about anything to you? Is he pointing a finger at anything? Is he making you miserable over anything? Of course not. When you're in his presence, does he ever point to you? Does he ever point to any of your sin? No, I got dealt with before. If you're in the aircraft, it's because it got dealt with, because you stay in it by faith. You see, you get in it by believing in Jesus and coming to him. You stay in it by faith. when the enemy comes to me and says, you better watch flying at 30,000 feet. Well, don't tell me, tell him. Learn to get in it and learn to stay in it. Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus. Yeah, but the law says, we wouldn't see the law, sir, we would see Jesus. What was this woman's message? It was so simple. Come, see the man. Come, see the man. She was asking him to do two specific things. One was come, and the other is to keep beholding, to look, to see. To not look at yourself, not look at the problems, not look at what you've done. See Jesus. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in the past unto the fathers through the prophets, has now, though, in these last days spoken to us through his Son. He said, hear him. Hear him. The only reason why God ever exercised the law, dumped us all out of this airplane we were flying in, whatever it was, of religiousness, and dumped us all in the law down here, and we crash-landed in it, is for him to prove to us beyond a shadow of doubt that there was no good thing in us. I hope there's no one still trying to prove that wrong. But I can point to you one that is all in all. I just as soon fly in his aircraft and not try to make my own. And I don't like living in the law. I've tried that. That's as terrible as trying to live without gravity. I mean, I just don't feel comfortable. The enemy has exercised me for so long. And I remember the first two-week period that I had above the law. It just felt so good. But at the end of the 2 weeks, I was saying, God, something's got to be wrong. Nothing's condemning me. I haven't read anything. It's just like almost I closed my mind every time something would come up here that would point my these and thous out. I just didn't see them. I ignored them. I looked at other things, you know, and I had the ability for the first time to look beyond all that and look at all the good parts. It's like you read every third verse. You don't see the two that are in the middle. But after a while, I got to saying, God, something's desperately wrong with me. I got to go back to where I used to be. This can't be living. This is too good. All I'm doing is just ignoring the law of God and living up here in limbo land. That's no good. So God says, well, fine, if you like to. He opened the aircraft, and tumbling down I came, crash-landed, all bent up, out of shape, and in the hospital. I said, Lord, do you like that any better? Well, no, not really. But the other just seems so unreal, it couldn't be. You know, now I read all these portions of the law and everything, and I know that pertains to somebody else, but it doesn't to me, because I don't live under that law. I've come to the Christ, and I come to Christ, and I'm living by faith. I'm living by faith in him. In his jet engines, in his perfect aircraft, in his perfect work to defy all gravity and all law. And I plan to keep cruising this way. It's just great living. Do I have problems? Yes. But it's not the same problems I used to have. Why? Because the enemy can't touch me anymore. I'm in the city of refuge and I plan to stay there. Thank you very much. And so when it comes to nights like tonight where you can sing and dance, I can enter into it right away. Why? Because I never left it. And any time you do, I just know it's the enemy trying to pull me out of the aircraft. Go up and visit the pilot. Say, thank you for inviting me on board. This is really nice. This is really, really nice. So I leave you with the words of the woman tonight, which are simply this. Come see the man. Come out unto him. Come out unto him. Some of you are living under that other heaviness and under the law of the heaviness. It was there to prove to you there's no good. And if you ever want to get out of the aircraft, the moment you get out, it's going to keep telling you just how good you're not. And the end of Daily Light for today says, as long as the Lord no longer speaks to us through the prophets and through those other things, he does speak to the world through them, but not to us who are in Christ. He speaks to us through Christ. And then it says at the very end, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. Speak, Christ. And this is the Lord speaking to us tonight, saying, come away from all that. Who is he that condemneth? Woman? Church? Who is he that condemneth? I condemn you not. Go and sin no more. Have a great life. Live in Christ. Let your faith soar. Don't come to Wednesday service like this. There's no need for that. Absolutely no need for that. Come unto Christ and stay in Christ and move in Christ and have your being in Christ and stand in Christ. That's right.